All right, today we're going to finish God's Word in you. We're going to begin with letter S this morning. That's where we are in the alphabet. And we're going to finish all the way down through Z. And I'm sure many of you are wondering what word we're going to come up for the letter Z. But you just bear with us and we will tell you. But we're going to begin by looking at 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse number 15 this morning. Be diligent to present yourselves approved to God as a workman who does not need to be ashamed, handling accurately the word of truth. You need to be the kind of man, the kind of woman that is committed to the study of God's word. And of course, that's what the letter S represents. Study God's word. We want you to be students of the word. We want you to be more than just hearers of the word. We want you to be more than just readers of the word. We want you to be students of the word. That is, we want you to get out your pencil and paper, and as you open the Word of God, to be able to ask yourself some questions, to be able to answer those questions, to be able to accurately interpret the Word of God, that you might be able to accurately present the Word of God to people who ask you about the truth that you hold in your hands. The Bible says in Ezra chapter 7, verse number 9 and 10, these words, "For on the first of the first month he began," that is Ezra, "to go up from Babylon, and on the first of the fifth month he came to Jerusalem, because the good hand of his God was upon him. For Ezra had set his heart to study the law of God, and to practice it, and to teach his statutes and ordinances in Israel." Ezra was a man who committed himself to the study of the law of God. Listen, we need to be students of the Word of God. I know many of you read your Bible, and that's great. I know many of you have, quote, devotions. You read a little excerpt from this book or a little excerpt from that book and a verse here and a verse there, and that's good. But we want you to go further, to be students of the Word of God. A year ago when we did our series Alone with the Almighty, we gave you 10 questions that you can ask. Every time you read a passage, you will be on your way to becoming a student of the Bible. Let me review those questions for you. Number one, is there a pattern for me to follow? Number two, is there a potential sin for me to avoid? Number three, is there a purpose for me to embrace? Number four, is there a precept to obey? Is there a promise to claim, is number five? Is there a perspective on the Godhead I need to receive? Is there a problem I need to explore in my own life? Is there a principle I need to share with other people? Is there a prayer that I can offer? Is there a praise to be given? 10 simple questions. We put them on a little card, and some of you have them in your Bible even today as we speak. That if you just ask 10 simple questions and answer them, you'll begin to study the Word of God. And it will get you further and further into the Scriptures. We need to be students of the Word. Why? Because you know what? Precision in interpretation is important. Accuracy in interpretation is important. You can go to a lot of churches. You can hear a lot of things about what the Word of God says. This past week, I was listening once again to my favorite TV station and listening to this young man preach about the righteousness of Christ. And as I listened to him preach about the righteousness of Christ, telling people that if they have the righteousness of Christ, that is, they are equal with God. And if they are equal with God, they can do what God does. That is, they can walk on water and they can raise people from the dead. He really believed that. And he was getting the people in the audience to believe that as well. Thinking that if God's righteousness dwelt in them and they are right with God, they are equal with God. If they are equal with God, they can do what God did when he was on the earth. So subtle, but so wrong. Happens all the time. We need to be students of the Word of God so that we don't give a ballpark interpretation. We don't give an idea of what we think the text means, but we give an accurate translation to what that text does mean for your life and for mine. That's so important. But to do that, you need to be a student of the Word of God. You need to study the Word of God, and I want to encourage you to do that. Next, letter T, teach God's Word. If God's Word is going to be a part of your life, you need to teach God's Word. You say, well, I don't have the gift of teaching. That's okay. You don't have to have the gift of teaching to teach God's Word. Why? Because the Bible says that we are to go into all the world and preach the gospel. We are to go into all the world and make disciples, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and in the name of the Son, and in the name of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I've commanded you. If God has called you to be a disciple maker, and he has, then God has called you to be a teacher. God wants you to be actively involved in a teaching ministry. If you're a mother, you need to teach your children. If you're a father, you need to teach your wife and your children. Maybe you could teach a Sunday school class. Maybe you could teach one other person. But if you're not actively teaching somebody else the Word of God, you are disobedient to the Word of God. Because we are to make disciples. And I know what James 3 says. James 3:1 says, don't many of you seek to become teachers, for with it come the stricter condemnation. That's true. But God has called us to be teachers of the Word of God. If you go back to Deuteronomy chapter 6, we talked about it on Wednesday night, that we are to teach our children diligently as we sit, as we walk, as we lie down, as we stand. Wherever we go, we are to be actively involved in a teaching ministry as parents to our children. Why? Because they need to grow in their walk with the Lord. Where is your teaching ministry? Do you have one? If God's Word is going to be a part of your life in this year, like no other year, you need to be involved in teaching one other person. Just one. Could be your wife, it could be your children, could be a friend of yours, but investing in them spiritually. Why? Because if you want to be a good student of the Word of God, then set your heart on teaching the Word of God. Because when you begin to teach people and they ask you questions you don't have the answer to, you've got to go back and find the answer. It requires you to be a student of the Word, to look for the answer until you find the answer. And teaching causes you to study your Bible more than anything else. Therefore, if you want to be a good student of the Word, teach the Word to one other person. Your children will ask you all kinds of questions that you need to have an answer to. Fathers, can you answer your children's questions? Mothers, can you answer your children's questions? You need to be able to answer them. You go to work, right? People ask questions about truth, about life, about death, about the uncertainty of tomorrow. Do you have answers for them? You become a teacher then. You become one who instructs others in the ways of God. You need to be a student of the Word of God. You need to be a teacher of the Word of God. So important. Next, you need to understand God's Word. You need to understand God's Word. Proverbs chapter 2, verse number 6 says, for the Lord gives wisdom, and from his mouth come knowledge and understanding. God gives you understanding. If you are a student of the Word, God will give you understanding to the text. You need to get that from the Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible says in Proverbs 3, verse number 13, how blessed is the man who finds wisdom and the man who gains understanding. If you want to learn how to live every day in a practical way that honors and glorifies God, know God's Word, that is the book of Proverbs. Why? Because it's all about living wisely. And so, when you talk about understanding, you're talking about the ability to decipher principles that you might live in accordance with them, the ability to grasp truth with insight and discernment. Listen to what it says over in Proverbs chapter 24. Proverbs 24, verse number 3. By wisdom is the house built, and by understanding it is established. And by knowledge the rooms are filled with all precious and pleasant riches. Listen, your home needs to be built on the foundation of wisdom, understanding, and knowledge. And if your home is built on that foundation, what you have in each of the rooms of that house are something that goes far beyond anything you could ever imagine. The book of Proverbs says that each room is filled with all precious and pleasant riches. I love over in the book of Acts, the 8th chapter, in the story of the Ethiopian eunuch who was reading out of the book of Isaiah. He didn't understand what he was reading. And Philip goes up to him and says, do you understand what you are reading? And he said, well, how could I unless someone guides me? And he invited Philip to come up and sit with him. Now, the passage of scripture which he was reading was this. He was led as a sheep to slaughter, and as a lamb before its shearer is silent, so he does not open his mouth. In humiliation, his judgment was taken away. Who shall relate his generation? For his life is removed from the earth. And the eunuch answered Philip and said, please tell me, of whom does the prophet say this? Of himself or of someone else? And Philip opened his mouth And beginning from the scripture, he preached Jesus to him. You see, for the man to have proper understanding of what he was reading, he needed someone to come alongside of him and give him wisdom, to teach him. Philip was that man. But we as people need to have an understanding of the Word of God. Do you? Do you follow the words of Proverbs? Acquire wisdom. Acquire understanding. Seek her. Search for her. She will guard you. She will protect you. She will be your life. That's why the Word of God is so important. You need to understand the Word of God. Next, letter V, value God's Word. We need to value God's Word. The Bible says in Psalm 119, verse number 72, these words, "The law of thy mouth is better to me than thousands of gold and silver pieces." Isn't that good? Do you value God's Word? Is it the supreme authority of your life? They are as relevant today as they were 2,000 years ago. They are just alive now as they were 1,000 years ago. And therefore, the words that we read are life-changing words. If God is the God of life, and His Word is the Word of life, then in order for my life to be sustained, I must read and digest the Word of life. I must value it as the most precious possession that I own. Do you value God's Word more than you value your very life? I mean, are you willing to do what God says even if it costs you your life? Are you willing to do what God says if it costs you your marriage? Are you willing to do what God says if it costs you your job? Are you willing to obey God no matter what? Now you know God's Word is valuable to you. You don't want to lose that. You can lose everything else, but you can't lose the Word of God. Next. Welcome God's Word. Welcome God's Word. James says it well. In James chapter 1, verse number 21, "Therefore, putting aside all filthiness and all that remains of wickedness, in humility, receive the Word implanted, which is able to save your soul." Receive the Word. In other words, put out the welcome mat to the Word of God. Every time you open the Word of God, it should be welcomed into your heart. Over in 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse number 13, it says this, "For this reason, we also constantly thank God that when you receive from us the word of God's message, you accepted it not as the word of men, but for what it really is, the word of God, which also performs its work in you who believe." There have been people, just for a little illustration, there have been people who've never been baptized. They're born again, but they've never been baptized. And the Bible says you need to be baptized. They say, "Well, I'm either too old, or it's been too long, or because I don't have to be baptized to go to heaven, it's no big deal." But the Bible says you need to be baptized. So if that's the case, you welcome God's Word by saying, "Lord, if you want me to be baptized, I'll be baptized." Because that's what your Word says. What is it for you? The Bible says in Ephesians 4:29, "Let no unwholesome word proceed out of your mouth." Yet, this week, I heard in our church about people who spoke many unwholesome words against others in the church. The Bible says you're not supposed to do that. So either they have taken up the welcome mat and thrown it away when it comes to that verse in Ephesians 4:29 because they don't want to receive that part, or they're just blatantly disobedient to it. Welcome the Word of God. So when the Word of God confronts my sin, I say, "Lord, you know what? I have sinned. Therefore, I go and I confess my sin because I want to do the right thing." Welcome the Word of God into your life. Next, what's the next letter? X, so that's exemplify God's Word. I cheated a little bit on that one. Exemplify God's Word. Hey, listen, what gives you the greatest joy in life? What gives you the greatest joy in your life? Think about it. Don't answer out loud, please. Just think about it in your own life. What gives you the greatest joy? What gets you really stoked, man? What gets you fired up? What's, you know, makes the prop really, you know, go full force in your life? Have you thought about that? What is it that really gets you excited? Listen to this verse. It's very important. It's in the Bible. It talks about joy. And that verse is this: "I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in." 3 John 4. John says, the greatest joy in all the world is to have your children walk in truth. The greatest joy in all the world is not to give your kids the finest education. Send them to the finest of all schools. Send them to become doctors and lawyers. God forbid. If you're a lawyer, please don't be offended by that. You know? Or they become great athletes. That's not the greatest joy in the world. The greatest joy in all the world is that your children walk in truth. Listen, parents, you know that when your children walk in truth, it brings supreme joy to your life. But when they rebel against truth, what happens? Oh, man, it just tears you up inside, doesn't it? Sure it does. Why? Because you want them to walk obediently to God, to follow His word. Well, listen, that's the case. That means they're going to live truth. That means we, as parents, have to live truth. We have to exemplify the word of God in our lives. It has to be the supreme example of all that we say and do, right? Sure it does. Exemplify God's holy word. Why? Letter Y, not Y, W-H-Y, but letter Y. Yield to God's word. Yield to God's word. See, I told you we'd finish today. Yield to God's word. The Bible says in Romans 12, right? Therefore, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Yield to God. Yield to His word. It's similar to welcoming the word of God. You welcome it into your home. You welcome it into your heart. And then you submit to it. You yield to the word of God. Do you yield to all of God's word? You say, well, I'd like to. Let me give you an example. The Bible says in Ephesians 5:21 that we are to be submissive one to another. Are you submissive to your wife? Are you submissive to your husband? Are you submissive to your employer, to your employee, as an employee? Do you yield to the word of God by saying, Lord, if you have said I am to be submissive, then I will do that? And the greatest act of submission on the part of the husband is to give his life away for his wife. And that's the whole context of Ephesians 5, giving your life away. When you follow Christ, you are yielding to His leadership. Saying, yes, God, I will follow you wherever you lead. And lastly, the letter Z. Here it is. You ready? Zetete. Zetete ton lagon theo, which means longingly desire God's word. Zetete ton lagon theo, which means to longingly and lovingly desire God's. 1 Peter chapter 2. Here it goes. Verse number 2. Like newborn babes, long for the pure milk of the word, that by it you may grow in respect to salvation, since you have tasted the kindness of the Lord. Long for the pure milk of the word. Are you that way? This is a great way to end. Why? Because all the things that we've talked about, A through Z, really stems on letter Z, to long, to desire God's word more than anything. It's your life, that without it, you'll die. Without it, you'll cry. Without it, you'll kick and you'll scream until you get it. That's the way we ought to be. Now, you ever ask yourself why that doesn't happen in your life? Why is it that you can go through maybe a whole week, maybe a whole month without ever really studying your Bible, reading your Bible, memorizing any verses? The Bible tells you. It tells you in verse number 1. Therefore, putting aside all malice and guile and hypocrisy and envy and all slander, like newborn babes. It's something you got to get rid of. To put off means to discard, to get rid of. It's like when you go home, you know, and you got a coat and tie on, you can't wait to get home and get the tie off and get the coat off and take a shower and put on your relaxing clothes and sit back. You know, you want to discard certain things. There are things that we don't discard. And those things keep us from longing for the word of God. They hinder our desire. The first one is wickedness. That's malice. All forms of evil. It's the base kinds of wickedness. And it's those kinds of things that keep us from desiring the word of God as newborn babes, because there is some wickedness in our life, something that we're hanging on to that's so important to us that we won't let go. That's the malice. That's the wickedness. And then there's deceitfulness. That's the guile. The deceitfulness. It's a word that means to bait with a hook. You know, you ever been fishing? And you put the little worm on the end of the hook. You throw it into the water. Why? Because you want the fish to believe you really care about him. You want the fish to believe that you're concerned about his diet. So what you're going to do is give him the choicest of all food. That little worm that dangles from the hook. It's a word that means to bait with a hook. It's all deceiving, isn't it? You don't care about that fish. You want to eat that fish. You want to catch that fish. You deceive that fish. Now, there are people that are very deceitful in their lifestyles, aren't they? And that deceitfulness hinders their desire for the pure milk of the word. There's wickedness, there's deceitfulness, and then there's phoniness. That's hypocrisy. That's a guy, you know, who comes to church every week, you know, and he wants everybody to think that he's got his life together. You know, he holds his wife's hand when he walks into church. He kisses her as he drops her off at the nursery, kisses his kids, sits in church, looks good, takes notes, then goes home and he beats his wife, you know. He goes home and swears at his kids. He goes home and throws all of his money away because he didn't care if he provides for his family. He lives a phony life. He looks good on the outside, but on the inside, he's rotten. You know, you can fool a lot of people, right? Pastor of the church, your Sunday school teacher, your friends, you can fool them. But unless you put all that phoniness aside, you're not going to be able to desire the pure milk of the word and thus grow thereby. You have wickedness, you have deceitfulness, you have phoniness, and then you have selfishness, envy. It's all about you. It's all about me. You know, there are many people today who come to church, and I'm going to meddle a little bit this morning. That's the preacher's prerogative. People come to church, you know, and they don't like what's happening here or what's going on here, and they begin to criticize. But people like to criticize, and they do it in subtle ways. But, you know, for all practical purposes, it's selfishness. You see, they go to church because they want the church to minister to them. They don't go to church to minister. You see, when people complain a lot, you know they're consumers. When people criticize a lot, you know they want the church to minister to them. They don't come to follow Matthew 20:28. The Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life a ransom for many. That's the model, right? So you translate out over to different individuals who like to criticize and complain. They go to church because they want the church to minister to them. They're coming to get. They're not coming to give. And those who come to get are manipulators. And the church is a ministering body. And you know what happens? Whenever you minister, guess what? You receive. But if you don't minister, you won't receive. Reception is a byproduct of ministry. And you'll find that when people give their lives away and begin to minister, guess what? Great things happen. Same thing in a marriage, right? We're selfish in a marriage. We want the spouse to give to us. And if they're not giving to us, then we complain and we gripe and we bellyache about my need here and my need there. And guess what? It's about ministry. Your marriage is about your ministry to your spouse. To give your life away, to serve your spouse, to serve your family. Life is a life of service as a Christian, right? Paul saw himself as a slave. Christ saw himself as a servant of all men. And the reason people have a hard time desiring the pure milk of the word is because they are so into themselves. Me, 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 me. And sometimes we don't receive the word of God and desire it like a baby craves milk because we're too into ourselves. So you have wickedness, you have deceitfulness, you have phoniness, you have selfishness, and you have unkindness, slander. Gossip. How about you? See, it comes down to just basically doing what God says, right? And following his word. You lay aside all those things, guess what? Now you're ready to crave the pure milk of the word. If you're not craving it, go back and ask yourself this question. Is there something in my life that's hindering me from this? Because it's probably true. And say, God, I want you to deal with that in my life. Take it away. Because the reason we did this series is that you might grow, right? You might grow. And that you are living in line with the Word of God. Let's pray.